Hey everybody, I'm Corbin.
And I'm Camry.
And we are siblings reconnecting with the joy of our Disney-filled childhood. Join us as we discuss, debate, and rediscover the second star to the right. This is The Neverland Files. Welcome, everyone.
Hi, guys.
This is our part two Disney Plus randomizer episode.
Yes, we found more random things on Disney Plus that neither of us had ever seen.
And some new things that have just recently been released. And we're going to do a brief review of our 5-minute snack.
Yes, if we would watch this again based on the first 5 minutes. Did you reel us in? So.
I mean, we had stuff from Star Wars, Marvel.
Yes.
Pixar.
We tried to make it more broad this time, so it wasn't all just one type of thing. So we've got a little bit of everything and hopefully some recommendations to leave with you guys. We'll see.
All
so
right.
Corbin, let's start with our first one. We tried out The Mysterious Benedict Society, which is a new series that just came out on Disney Plus. Corbin, what say ye to The Mysterious Benedict Society?
I'm still a little bit confused about what this is, and I remember seeing this on Disney Plus being promoted, and I was like, I made the connection Benedict Cumberbatch, then Doctor Strange.
You're like, ooh!
So I was going a really different direction. How would you describe this?
Okay, it was giving me... But first of all, this is based off of a book series. I have the books, but I have not read them. So it's like a middle grade series.
Can't we just buy his books and they just sit there? But yes.
Well, it takes me. I'm a slow reader.
No, not at all.
So it was giving me like the first 5 minutes was kind of giving me like Willy Wonka vibes meets like Scooby Doo. I don't know. Because they were like gathering all of these strange children.
Yeah, I got a little Ender's Game vibe.
Ender's Game's dark. This did not feel dark to me.
No, but the sense that the children are the ones that they're gathering up and that they're going to save.
Yes, the children are going to save the day. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of Tony Hale. He's like kind of the main dude that's playing Mr. Benedict, apparently.
What does he do? I don't know. Anthony.
He plays Forky. And he also guest starred on Chuck, the TV show, one time. And he was so obnoxious in that show.
Okay.
I don't love Tony Hale, but I want to read the book first. And then I am intrigued enough to be like, I will watch this when I read the book. But I have to read the book first.
The concept was interesting. I think they're trying to protect people from fear and anxiety.
Yes, and there's
that resonated with me. I was like, oh, okay.
I think I need help with that. Yes. Yeah, like the thing? It was the big
truth loving people.
Yes, but what are they protecting people from?
The emergency.
The emergency. That's all it's called, is the emergency.
We're a little in the dark here because we only watch 5 minutes. So
yeah.
So what would you say that you want to watch? I gave it a seven out of ten. I gave it an 8.
Which mine's a 7 because I'm not gonna watch it until I read the book. So that's my rule for myself. But once I read the book, it'll probably go up to like an 8. And I'll be like, sure, like, let's check it out just for funsies.
I don't even know how long. Is it a series?
I think it's a TV series. Okay, I don't even know how long the episodes are. But anyways, like I said, it was kind of giving me Scooby-Doo, Willy Wonka.
The cinematography was very interesting.
It has a very distinct artistic style as well. Like, it's very stylized in this like kind of preppy 1950s, really bright colors type situation.
I liked that component of it. The story I'm still lost, but anyways.
But
we'll get
it's
there.
First 5 minutes, what do you expect?
Okay.
Okay, let's move into Burrow, which was a Pixar Spark short. This is a Pixar short. Neither of us has
it doesn't
ever
look
seen.
Pixar-y.
It doesn't. The animation style is very unique, which is why it's a Spark short. It's like they're experimental.
The interns. This was their final project.
So, Corbin, what did you think of Burrow?
Okay, well, first of all, I thought when you said Burrow, I thought like a donkey. So then when the bunny showed up, I was really confused. I'm just really...
Corbin was not tuned in for this entire thing.
I was just trying to figure things out here. Reminds me a little bit of Room on the Broom.
It's
got that animation, that lightheartedness, but there is some emotion to it as well. But it's very brief and short.
It was like 6 minutes.
Yes.
Oh, guys, this one got a 10 out of 10 from me. It was Wind in the Willows meets Redwall for introverts who just want, this poor little bunny just wants to build his little burrow. And there's other animals burrowed all over the place and there's no space for him. And it's kind of making him a little anxious and stressed. And it's so charming. I loved it.
I like this a lot because it gives you perspective of how crowded the earth and dirt are.
There's animals and bugs and reptiles.
There's a lot of things going on under the ground.
Lots of families need space.
And they did it in a way that still made you feel cute and not... did you feel claustrophobic at all?
I didn't feel claustrophobic. I am a claustrophobic person.
There were a few moments where I was like, wow, it's really narrow and there's little tunnels.
The one spot where like there was water kind of filling the tunnel, I was like, ooh, I could feel claustrophobic. But I think it was short enough and charming enough that I didn't even notice. So,
and just the concept of wanting to be left alone.
Yes.
Live your sad, simple life.
Yes.
And people, and then somehow in your efforts to live alone and be simple, it ruins everyone else's life.
How did that happen? But the ending is so cute because this idea that like even introverts need friends to help make their dreams a reality and make them better than they could have been by themselves. So it is so cute, guys. It's well worth 6 minutes. Is it worth 6 minutes?
I gave it a 9 out of 10. I don't know why I didn't give it a full 10, but it's really, really good.
Check it out. Okay, Corbin. Next we have Legends, which is a Marvel series, TV series.
And the theme of this episode is I have no idea what's going on as I'm going into this. So
this is another new one that just came out, I feel like, within the last month and a half or so. And we watched the first 5 minutes of the first episode, which was about Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. So what do you think?
This one gets my award for the best pick.
Okay.
Because...
good job, randomizer.
Because I was... the first minute of it, I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't remember all the stories. I've watched all the movies. I enjoy the stories. But now they're showing little clips of all these different movies about her story. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh man, I can't remember it. And then I realized they're just summarizing each character, taking all these bits from all these movies. And you're like,
I called it the encyclopedia because Marvel has realized they've made a world so complicated that no one can keep their story straight. And so they made somewhere for you to go watch a 10-minute thing about the character and get caught up.
Yeah.
Which is genius.
It was brilliant. I was like so into it. And they weave it all together so well that it makes sense. It's not just random action shots or things or quotes. It's really good.
Given we didn't watch the whole thing. So I don't know how, like, I don't know if her thing includes WandaVision stuff or if this was just like intended to, like, if you hadn't watched WandaVision and wanted to be caught up on her story, watch this 10-minute clip in Legends and then you'll be ready to go with the show. So I'm not sure about that, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is genius. I need this so badly in my life.
It's so brilliant.
The only thing is I wish they wouldn't just do the characters. Like, can I have one about the stones? Can we just follow the yellow stone around?
Maybe that's part of it.
Because that, you all know, if you listen to our Marvel episodes, those stones are the bane of their existence. I can't keep them straight. So I do need help there.
The one thing I would recommend with this, with the Legends, is I would recommend watching... this is a big, tall task. But if you haven't watched all the movies, it's not going to really make sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be jumping around so much. You're like, what is going on? But if you watch most of the movies and then you watch these, it's really helpful and fun.
Yeah, yeah. And if you feel like you want to watch a random Marvel movie you haven't watched in a while, but you're not quite sure where...
you don't want to spend 3 hours.
Right. You don't want to have to be like start all over again with all the movies. These are nice. Like I said, it's like reference material for you to go in and be like, okay, what's Captain America doing? What's Iron Man doing? Where are we at? So you can kind of get a feel for what's going on.
It's a nice Marvel snack.
Yes, a little taste. All right. I gave that one a 7 out of 10 only because I'm not going to watch them all the time.
I think I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. Like, if I'm ever watching a Marvel show that's coming out, like Hawkeye or like these shows that are coming out.
Oh, that's true.
It's like, wait, I want to refresh.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
So then when I watch the show, I can understand, like, how does this weave into it?
I think I only gave it a 7 because... it's not the type of show where it's like, yes, I'm going to go watch this and binge watch it. You only watch it when you need to, but boy, when you need to, it'll be really nice. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It's like Wikipedia, right?
Yeah,
it's not like I'm going to go get on Wikipedia.
It's not like that's what I read in bed. And I'm like, oh, chapter 5 of Wikipedia.
But you could certainly binge it.
I don't know.
Like, once you show up there, you're like, I'm going to watch the next one. I forgot this story. Oh, I'm going to watch. I could see myself doing that.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
You know, like with Wikipedia, you click on the links and you're just like.
You're in a rabbit hole. Yeah, yeah. You're in the burrow. Yes. Okay. So next up, we did a little National Geographic Drain the Titanic.
Oh, I thought Star Wars blips.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Star Wars blips.
Go on, MC.
I scribbled on my paper. Sorry, guys. Okay, yeah. So Star Wars blips. Star Wars was a hard category for us to find stuff in because we're kind of well-versed in Star Wars stuff.
We're a little obsessed.
But I had never seen Star Wars blips. They are literally like 1 to 30 second long little teeny cartoons.
This is, think of like Olaf and his little shorts that he has when he's interacting in the forest. I don't know if you've seen those. But
I haven't.
There's little Olaf shorts where he's just doing silly things.
Like these are literally really blips.
Yeah. And so Star Wars blips. This one, I didn't love it.
Oh, come on.
It almost felt like a waste of time. It was so short. And we were having a hard time with our TV, like, to get from one episode. It was like thinking
okay,
a lot.
Okay, so you're just stressed about time. So you're like, hurry up.
No, but the blips, I was just like, it was kind of fun. But they were just so short. It just didn't feel like it's worth the sacrifice. This is going to sound really lame. Of opening Disney Plus, searching Star Wars blips, and then watching a blip. And
okay.
You're just like, it took me more time to find it than to watch it.
Well,
so,
that's because our TV is so slow and old. So don't judge it on that. I think they're so charming. They mostly feature BB-8. I love BB-8. And the droids. So you have like R2-D2 and C-3PO. And like we said, 30 seconds to a minute. And you can just cruise through the whole season in probably like 10 minutes. Maybe even less than that.
Is that like...
And
that
it's
give
so
you that,
cute.
Does that give you like a sense of accomplishment if you're like cruising through a season in like 5? You're like,
well,
wow. Like,
I mean,
look
we
at
talked
me go.
About Burrow. And Burrow was like 6 minutes long. So if you're looking for something short and your kids love Star Wars, like this is so kid friendly. It made us chuckle out loud. I laughed out loud. The stormtrooper tripping out of the
falling
Millennium
on
Falcon.
His face. Yes, that was funny.
And I just love the noises. I love R2-D2 and BB-8 and their little and how they talk to each other. So I thought it was so cute. If you just need like a little baby taste of happiness, that'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah, I give it a 5.
I gave it a 9 out of 10. Corbin's crazy. Don't listen to him.
Might as well watch Clone Wars or like Rebels or something like that if you're going to open up the TV.
Oh, my word.
So just go 20 minutes.
Okay. So now we can get into Drain the Titanic.
Yes.
Sorry I jumped ahead.
This story gives me the creeps. Doesn't
Titanic's a rough story. It's a sad one.
It's just...
Because it's in modern history, right? So it's a disaster that's like... It's closer in history, so it makes it real.
They said that like 1,500 people died.
A lot.
This was back in 1912. I mean, they were throwing out facts that were very interesting, but just the idea of this boat sitting there on the bottom of the ocean, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, with how many skeletons and bones. Anyways, the gist of this show is that it's part of the Drain the series they did in National Geographic, where they essentially go to a part of the ocean or a lake or somewhere, drain it, and then look at the stuff that's underneath the surface. In this case, they're studying the Titanic.
Which, I mean, with the technology and the concept of being able to see it.
Without the water on your computer screen is pretty crazy.
It's pretty cool.
And they said, in the introduction, they kind of set up that there's a lot of stuff they were able to find out about what happened because they drained it. Because it's so far down in the water, you can't really see any of it.
2.5 miles.
Yeah. It's dark. And so you only have like a little bit of spotlight on the ship. So they needed to drain it so they could really see what was going on down there. I am intrigued. I love the National Geographic stuff, especially the stuff that's more about like archaeology and anthropology and stuff like that. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. I'm curious enough when I'm in the mood for a documentary to go back.
I gave it 7 out of 10. I'm intrigued, but still, it just makes me uneasy. You just feel claustrophobic, right? But the computer digitization.
Don't hurt yourself.
It's an interesting concept and I respect it.
Yes. National Geographic, please keep making cool stuff because it makes me happy.
Yes. Agreed.
All right. We got kind of a weirdie.
This one came out of... Whoa.
This is an old live-action Disney movie from when...
1974.
Island at the Top of the World. Okay. Corbin, who was the director for
Robert
this?
Robert Stevenson, who directed Mary Poppins, Blackbeard Ghost, Absent-Minded Professor, That Darn Cat. I mean, his resume is really...
And this is one of his later films. So, I mean, he's already done all the cool stuff.
Yeah, yes, this was a few years after Blackbeard's Ghost. This, I think he did like 3 or 4 more films after this.
So this, in like the recommend section, this is being recommended with films like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Swiss Family Robinson, kind of the more adventure-y live action movies. This is not a comedy, I'm assuming.
Kind of like a, based on the explanation we got from our 5 minutes, Journey to the Center of the Earth type of story.
Yes, has those vibes. They're going on a journey to an island at the top of the world.
Under the ice.
And the whales go there to die.
I think you cannot watch this thinking that there will be logical explanations. I think it will be a little bit out of control in terms of...
It's gonna feel like Jules Verne, right? Where they're kind of pushing it in terms of like, bizarre. What's possible? I don't know. Maybe we can go to the center of the earth and there's dinosaurs there.
Yes. So I gave it a 3 out of 10, but... Yeah. But I still have to see this.
So basically your 3 out of 10 is a prediction for how awful you think this movie will be.
Because it's Robert Stevenson and all the great things he's done, I have to see what was going on here. What did he create with this film?
Okay. I gave it a 5, we'll call it a 5 out of 10. I don't know, a 5 or a 6. Because I'm like you, like I want to watch all these old live action movies and I love 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Swiss Family Robinson. So I'm like, yeah, I'll go back and watch it, but I don't have very high expectations, mostly because of the actors. I don't recognize any of them. And I kind of didn't like the main guy who was from America. He just didn't fit for me. And I was like, oh geez, here we go.
Yeah. There was something about his face and his haircut that you're like, this isn't working for him. He's not the lead man.
Yes.
Really?
And they've done so good with their casting in some of their other movies that was kind of a letdown. In 5 minutes, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can follow this guy around.
And the artwork at the beginning of the movie with the music is a little startling.
It is, because it's like peaceful. And then all of a sudden there's fire and volcano all
and
over
ice,
the screen,
everything bad,
and the music's really grumpy, and then it goes back to peaceful music and we were kind of like,
so don't watch the credits, just jump
watch the credits, guys. You have to understand the fun time we had watching. Our faces were just like ugh.
We were befuddled, but so I still have to watch it.
I'm intrigued. It's one of those old movies.
This is
that you
movie
just have
night
to
worthy
give
definitely.
A chance,
yes.
And have a furrowed brow the whole time. Okay. We're going to move on to Your Friend the Rat, which is a Pixar short. It's like 12 minutes. We only watched half of it.
Yep. With Remy from
Ratatouille.
Would you
like to explain? Yes. And Emile, his brother.
So Remy is giving some historical background on rats and how they've populated the earth.
Yes.
I like Ratatouille. I know for some people the rats in the kitchen thing makes them squeamish.
That's me.
I don't get to that point, but this one sure put me there, because it's showing the rats populating the earth, literally, and it is gross.
Oh, man.
But the historical facts were very interesting. I was very fascinated by how rats have spread throughout the earth. We didn't finish it.
No, we didn't.
I think I may someday. It's short enough. I think I could do it. But I gave it definitely a 5 out of 10. I just put simply in my notes, this is gross.
I have rats are gross in mine too.
And they're trying to convince you they're not gross.
Yeah.
It just, maybe I need to watch the whole thing, but I wasn't there. I wasn't convinced yet. Remy, you were trying, but it wasn't there yet.
I gave it a 7 out of 10 only because I was intrigued enough to keep, like, I was like, oh, I want to finish this. And that was because of the animation style and the way they were visually telling the story of rats, like the plague where all the people get the green and they polka dot like Madame Mim from Sword in the Stone, and then they just like fall over.
Yeah.
There was some really charming, funny animation stuff. The concept of the history of rats is a lot. And Remy's voice. I still struggle with Remy's voice. But I'm intrigued enough to go and watch the rest of it.
I think they put up on the whiteboard in their offices. They're like, okay, let's think of some stories that we can tell that are revolting, and we'll try and figure out how we can do it in a creative way that people will enjoy it.
It's like a really, 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 really good version of School of Rock. No, School, what is it? Schoolhouse Rock? Is that like the little cartoons?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Schoolhouse
Rock,
those like cartoons that they would show us in elementary school and stuff.
Yeah, Jack Black.
It's like a much funnier and better animated version of that with Disney characters.
Sure.
P.T. Flea shows up.
Yeah, P.T. Flea does show up.
Okay. So anyways, guys, it's like 12 minutes, so I don't know.
Wait, I think you can get through it, maybe.
All right.
Might be some nightmares after that, but...
Let's move into our last Marvel selection for the day, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Okay, this was very strange.
Animated TV series from the 80s?
Yes, 1981. Batman. I'm thinking Batman with the pow, whoosh, yes. Twang kind yes. of Batman. And then also there was some Tron music in here.
There was a little Tron-y, yeah.
Let me just put it this way. This is not the Gargoyles. I liked the Gargoyles.
You did like Gargoyles.
This is not that. we have Spider-Man and his friends who are
Iceman
and Firestar.
And Firestar. We've never heard of them. When I saw the title Amazing Friends, I was expecting somebody I recognized. That was a little disappointing.
And then what the point of this 5 minutes that really took a turn for the weird was when Spider-Man was, of course, chasing the bad guys. And then Spider-Man gets thrown off the car into the trash cans. And he's like all self-deprecating. He's kind of the loser of the group.
Yeah, Iceman shows up. I have a direct quote, guys. Iceman, his friend, shows up and says, "Here I come to save my chum because he was dumb."
And then Spider-Man says, "Just your friendly neighborhood dummy," to himself. So I was a little confused.
Spider-Man was having a bad day.
Spider-Man's the sidekick that people make fun of and that can't do anything right. At least in the 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that we saw.
Iceman was kind of like the head honcho man. He was pretty interesting. I think his voice, it sounded like Freddy from Scooby-Doo, the old Scooby-Doos.
Oh, that makes sense.
So yeah. I think it was Freddy. And I have to admit, like, the most intriguing part of this was they kept talking about how they had to hurry and wrap it up because they had to get to their dates. I wanted to see who they were going on dates with. I didn't care about the rest of the story.
Well, Firestar did not show up, so I'm assuming she will be there.
Yes. So she must be dating Iceman. I wanted to see if MJ showed up, but I didn't give a hooey about the villains or anything else.
This was a 2 out of 10. I don't have much desire to put myself through that again.
I gave it a
3.
They're
ruining the image of Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man, and that was not Spider-Man.
Here I come to save my chum because he was dumb.
This was some child that stole Spider-Man's suit, and then
the writing was bad, guys. Like, the things they were saying, that one line wasn't a one-time thing. It kept happening.
Yeah, so that's your jam. Have fun.
Yeah, maybe, you know, little kids will love it, maybe, but I don't even know if kids will love it, quite frankly.
I don't even know if the writers like it. They're like, what are we doing? Well, I'm going to go rethink my life. Like,
this is horrible.
This is
the worst
production ever.
All right, let's follow that up with, I don't know if this is much better. We got Ewoks, vintage Star Wars TV series, ran for two seasons in the 80s.
1986.
Yep. Corbin, what'd you think about this TV series Ewoks?
Okay, the opening song is worth the price of admission. It's brilliant.
We are the
Ewoks. But after that, it was over. I was so confused. I feel like this is the type of movie where there's prerequisites where you have to read or watch something.
Yeah.
There were characters and names flying around that you had no idea what they were talking about.
I knew Wicket.
I think it was season 1, episode 1.
I think so, too.
I just don't have any desire to go because they just didn't give you any help.
Yeah, maybe we should have watched the other vintage stuff first because there's like a series that's about these kids who live with the Ewoks.
It's amazing how much
in the
80s and 90s they got away with the Ewoks. Like, that was the main thing that came out of the Star Wars.
This is the part of me that's like, guys, if you hate the prequels and say it's the worst thing you've ever seen, or if you hate the new stuff and say it's the worst thing you've ever seen, please go watch stuff like this because you're like, no, you are not acknowledging that George Lucas had a hand in some really, really awful Star Wars content. I was just confused. In the song, it says the Ewoks are spirits from the forest moon. I didn't understand that phrase. And then these are the movies that we went through as we went along. First, this felt like Gummy Bears. That was what I got from the
film. Oh, yeah. I put that down. Gummy Bears, Black Cauldron.
Totally felt like, yes, Black Cauldron. And then it started to feel more like Willow than Star Wars. I feel like George Lucas wanted to go into the fantasy realm and was kind of veering away from sci-fi, and he ended up not with Star Wars anymore. And then it became Lord of the Rings and Zelda.
Huge spiders.
With big spiders. And then there was some villain called Morg, and that started to feel like King Arthur with Mordred. I didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, one of the Ewoks like hypnotized this bull. And no one thought it was weird. And the bull stopped running around. And
they
he
gave
like,
it a bath. Yeah. They gave the bull a bath after that.
Guys, so. It's almost too weird for us to even describe. You might just have to go try it.
To be as optimistic and positive about this as possible, they packed a lot into that 5 minutes.
Yeah, obviously. We had no idea. We were like, holy smokes. I mean, there was like, yeah, it was interesting.
This was one where I was watching the clock. I was just like, are we done yet? Do I have to finish 5 minutes?
No, yeah.
I'll give it 2 out of 10.
I gave it a 3 out of 10. It was rough. But the theme song is worth it. So take that 3 out of 10 and go listen to the theme song at least, because it's quite the, it wouldn't stop. It had
It'll
like
get
10
stuck in
verses.
Your head. Yeah, careful.
Okay.
Viewer discretion advised. The song will get stuck in your head.
I will be singing it the rest of the day. Okay, we've got two more left. Our last National Geographic offering for today is a show called Big Cat Games. Corbin, what did you think of Big Cat Games?
You know, I actually, I have seen part of this before. I didn't realize it until we started. And I was like,
gasp.
Oh. So they're trying to see if tiger, what is the best cat?
Overall, it's like the Olympics for big animals.
It's like the decathlon for big
tigers,
cats.
Lions, and cheetahs.
And it's an interesting concept. I think it's really fun. I thought, but it just wasn't working. Something was wrong. I was like, is it the actor, the host, Boone Smith?
I liked Boone Smith.
You liked Boone? I was just like, it was taking so long to get started. I wanted to just jump into it. I guess I'm used to like
the editing, I think.
The Olympics right now where you watch these sports where it's like, they just give you like real brief 10 seconds. All right, we're into the action.
Yeah,
one, it was kind of dragging.
They were trying to give us the explanation on all of the cats.
I think the audience was intended for small children because I
get into
it. They're like, for second place, you'll get 5 points. For a third place, you'll get 2.5. And you're just like, oh my gosh. Like, I could see the chart on the screen.
The first 5 minutes, we didn't even get to see any of the competition. It was all like pre-stuff. But I am hashtag Team Tiger, love tigers. And so I gave it a 6 because I'm intrigued enough to maybe go in and see if the tigers win because I love tigers. So that's the, but if I didn't love tigers, I probably wouldn't care.
Cheetahs are really cool. I mean, the footage they're showing is pretty fancy.
I wrote down, if your kids love wild crats, this may be like a step up in terms of intensity.
Like
they are chasing and eating animals, but just briefly, but if they're into wild crats, this would be fun for kids.
Wild crats plus Olympics, because I did watch this with my daughters, and they just didn't understand the competition part of it. They're just like, why are we doing this? So, but if your kids are into that kind of thing,
Statistics about like, you know, which is the best and like who, let's keep track. Like, I can just see Corbin as a child loving this.
Really?
Being able to keep track of like, let's, how many points did this guy get? Like, what's his stat line?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, 6 out of 10 from me.
I grew out of that stage. Okay. I think I give 4.
Okay. Our last offering is a bonus offering. This is something Corbin wanted to try out. The new Chip and Dale Park Life series. I think these are all shorts, if I'm remembering correctly.
It wasn't short enough.
We didn't finish it.
I did not like this. I thought the only thing that was interesting in this was Pluto's nose.
Oh my gosh. Pluto's nose is the best part of the whole show.
But other than that, I wasn't getting it. I think it's a cultural thing for me.
We grew up on old school Chip and Dale, so where they talk and the animation's more neutral. This new animation style is still hard for me to wrap my brain around.
There's no dialogue.
Yeah, the chipmunk noises are so annoying.
It's too much.
This is why Chip and Dale need to talk, is so that we don't have to listen to them squeak at a high pitch for the whole thing.
Hey, chipmunks, act like humans, not chipmunks.
I need you to talk, okay?
The nerve.
I had questions like, I didn't know Pluto was a dad. Pluto has like 6 puppies.
Were those his puppies or just some
confused.
Orphans?
I don't know.
I didn't love it. I gave it 3 out of 10. I don't have anything to say. And you know what? I might be being overly critical with this because we had just watched 9 other shows for 5 minutes, and so you just kind of get.
Corbin's in a hurry today.
No, it's just it's when you watch 5 minutes of 9 different shows, you just kind of are like, I just want to sit down and watch something and not. So
okay,
kind of,
so
at the end, my ratings were getting a little lower.
Corbin has proved that our randomizer thing maybe is not the best thing to keep doing, because maybe this is not an effective way.
Well, the beginning ones
to
are
give
great.
Reviews. I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Ooh, really?
I didn't hate it. They're shorts, so I feel like Pluto's nose, guys. I'm telling you, that's what gave it a 6 out of 10. It was so charming to watch his nose flop all over the place. It was great. But the chipmunks were hard. So I don't
Which
know if I would
is
watch
what it's
another.
All about, so.
I know. Maybe more like a 5 or a 4, because I don't know if I'll watch another episode if it doesn't have.
Of all the things on here that we watched, I think that. Oh, man. Ewok, Spider-Man, and Chip and Dale are all in the same category, which is really sad because the Chip and Dale thing is like brand new.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
I think
but
we're
maybe
old
you'll enjoy
school,
it.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll enjoy it. So
yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think those are the three worst things. But Corbin, what are your top three things that we watched? What are you excited about?
Burrow was fantastic.
Oh, Burrow is so good.
Really resonated. Legends.
So cute.
Love Legends. I thought that was really interesting and very well done, how mm-hmm. they put that all together.
Yeah.
And then the last one is The Mysterious Benedict Society.
Really? Okay, I'm surprised that one ended up so high. So my top three is Burrow. Guys, this is you have to go watch this today. So just make it a part of your lineup for the evening. Burrow is my top one. I loved Star Wars Blips. I know Corbin didn't love it. It is like, they're so short, but they really just make me feel happy and warm on the inside. So that made me happy. And then my other one would probably be Drain the Titanic, because I just love that kind of stuff done by National Geographic. Those are my top three things I'm really interested in. Everything else is kind of in the middle, except for our wah-wahs towards the end. Our last few were really rough.
Although I will say the sneaky pick for Island at the Top of the World, we need to prioritize that
yes,
one.
Yes, we do. We do, guys. We need to do a movie review it. Because it will be one of those movies I have a feeling where you give it a higher score because it was so funny to laugh at. Because I don't know if I can take it seriously. That American guy who was the actor was just so stiff.
We shall see.
Maybe we'll have a review of that coming up,
guys.
We
may have to. All right.
Guys.
So there you go. There's our Disney Plus randomizer.
Hopefully we gave you a few suggestions of new things to give a try to on Disney Plus, because there's so much and always new content. Hopefully we helped a little bit. Huh? We didn't even help ourselves.
So next week we're going to do Disney fairy tale. Well, we're not going to review the fairy tale weddings.
We're doing
think.
A Disney fairy tale wedding special episode. We haven't quite figured out what that is yet, but we have wedding anniversaries coming up. And so we're going to do a little fairy tale wedding action, whatever that ends up.
I'm
being.
Actually really excited about this.
Corbin kind of actually secretly loves that show. So if you need another random recommendation, Corbin loves that show.
A few tears were shed while watching some of these episodes.
Oh my gosh, guys. Okay, so we will see you next week with another bonus episode.
Thanks, guys.
This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram @TheNeverlandFiles. Thanks for listening.